राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे। जय राधा कुंज बिहारी राधा कुंज बिहारी राधे। जय राधा वन बिहारी राधा वन बिहारी राधे। जय राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधे। जय राधा मदन मोहन राधा मदन मोहन राधे। जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे। जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद। नित्य गौर हरिबोल 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 नित्य गौर हरिबोल। जय विश्वपाद परमेश्वर स्तोत्र श्रीमदेश भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय विश्वपाद परमेश पुरुषाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस ठाकुर महाराज शिल प्रभुपाद की। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Madhya Leela, Chapter 4, entitled Sri Madhavendra Puri's Devotional Service. Text number 186. Pragada Premirayai Swabhavachar Nijadukha Vigna Adi Nakare Vichar. प्रगाढ़ प्रेमेरयै स्वभावाचार निज दुख विघ्नादीर्न करे विचार। प्रगाढ़ प्रेमेरयै स्वभावाचार निज दुख विघ्नादीर्न करे विचार। Matajis?
Prakara
Nija dukkha vighna dina karavicha. Pragada, intense, premiere of love of Godhead. Yei, this, subhava, natural, achar, behavior, nija, personal, dukkha, inconvenience, vigna, impediments, adira, and so on. Na, not. Kare, does. Vichar, consideration. Translation. This is the natural result of intense love of Godhead. The devotee does not consider personal inconvenience or impediments. In all circumstances, he wants to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is natural for those who have developed intense love for Krishna not to care for personal inconvenience and impediments. Such devotees are simply determined to execute the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His representative, the spiritual master. In all circumstances, even amidst the greatest dangers, they undeviatingly carry on with the greatest determination. This definitely proves the intense love of the servitor. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tattenukampam Sushimikshamanaha. Those who seriously desire to get free from the clutches of material existence, who have developed intense love for Krishna, are worthy candidates for going back home, back to Godhead. An intense lover of Krishna does not care for any number of material discomforts, scarcity, impediments and unhappiness. It is said that when one sees apparent unhappiness or distress in a perfect Vaishnava, it is not at all unhappiness for him. Rather, it is transcendental bliss. In the Shishtashtakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also instructed, Ashli Shiva Padaratam Pinastumam. The intense lover of Krishna is never deviated from his service, despite all difficulties and impediments brought before him. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Chiyutaha Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. हरे कृष्णा। वेरी हैप्पी एंड ऑनर्ड टू बी हियर एट गोवर्धन इको विलेज आफ्टर सो मेनी ईयर्स एंड वेरी ग्रेटफुल फॉर हैविंग बीन गिवन दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू शेयर सम थिंग्स ऑन द पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ लॉर्ड चैतन्य। द इंटरेस्टिंग थिंग इज यस्टरडे व्हेन आई वॉज आस्क्ड बाय अनंत राघव प्रभु टू गिव हिम अ वर्स, आई स्पॉन्टेनियसली चोज दिस वर्स। And today morning, I came to know it is Madhavendra Puri Prabhu's appearance. And it was like the greatest shock for me. It's amazing coincidence and also, you know, Krishna's grace that I chose this verse of all the, you know, thousands of verses in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And so this verse has been one of my inspirations. And also, it's a very... very, very intensely directional verse for the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. This verse defines what love is. So recently, 2 years back, I wrote this book known as Perfect Love, which is six love stories from our scriptures. And obviously, these are like, you can't say mundane, but they're like love stories where, you know, relationship between a man and woman, you know, obviously there is some divine elements also, but these are pure love stories. But then I was just thinking, what should be at the back cover of the book? And then I realized this can be nothing better than this verse at the back cover of the book. So I put this verse at the back cover of the book, and I kind of wrote like a reason why I put this in very small font somewhere in the end of the book. You know, obviously when you're presenting a book on love stories for the regular world, this verse is completely different from all the aspects of love that we are speaking about in the love stories, right? But this is the essence of all that. So I ended up writing that all love in this world originates from love for God. All the aspects of love that we talk about in this world, all the movies, all the novels, all everyone that's all the songs that I ever written about love, it all originates from this, literally from this verse. And what this verse talks about? This verse talks about what is the definition of love. And interestingly, this verse specifically talks about sacrifices. Love means sacrifice. So when we talk about pragada prem, prem means love, but pragada prem means intense love, condensed form of love. So what exactly it is? So we'll try to see this concept through our analysis of our acharyas and the way our scriptures are, specifically Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, and also the mood behind celebrating Gaur Punima. So since we are in this festival season and Gaur Punima is just around the corner, so it's important to understand the mood with which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would preach and the whole movement of the Hare Krishna movement, the mood behind it. So, the Hare Krishna movement, literally, from the day you come, the day you join, the one thing that is taught to us is to give. The whole world is doing a PhD on taking. And the Hare Krishna movement is actually teaching people how to give from the day they join, basically. So, the kindergarten kid who comes into the Hare Krishna movement is taught how to give. Basically, all of us, when we came into the movement, we were like joining into play school, you know, or kindergarten of spiritual life, right? And from the day we join, we are taught how to give. You know, inspired to serve prasad. We are, you know, inspired to give books out for book distribution. And so many things. We just taught how to give Krishna to others. Srila Prabhupada, that's the way he kind of created the movement. In the Mahabharata, we find a very interesting story where all the Pandavas, they are going northwards towards the Himalayas, and one by one, all of them drop, you know. And finally, only Yudhishthira Maharaja reaches right at the end, and along with him is a dog. So this dog has been traveling with them right from the beginning, you know, and it's been walking all the way. And when they reach right at the end, and Yudhishthira Maharaja is about to board on the airplane that is waiting for him, the dog, so Yudhishthira Maharaj is, you know, he's very grateful to the dog that he accompanied him all the way. And the dog tells him, before you leave, can you do one small thing for me? Yudhishthira said, what can I do for you? He said, I'm your subject. You know, I have been your follower all these years. And I followed you all the way till here. So he said, I have a lot of insects on my back that are biting me like anything. Can you just remove these insects, you know, and then you go. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, just before going, you know, ascending into the airplane, he's removing insects from the dog's back, basically. And once he removes all the insects are on the floor, and Yudhishthira is about to leave, the insects start speaking to him. The insects tell him, we are also your subjects. And in this cold place, the only thing that is our food is this dog's body, you know. And you removed us from the dog's body, what will we eat? Can you provide something for us before you go? You know what Yudhishthira Maharaj does? He takes all those insects and puts it on his own body. And he goes. Imagine, you know, at the last stage of life also, literally the last stage of life, Yudhishthira is thinking about how to give, how to serve, how to sacrifice. So our scriptures encourage us for this, living a life like this. Every person, every human being is born with four debts. And each of the debts should be repaid. The first debt is debt to the gods. And that's repaid by performing yajna. The second debt is the debt to the rishis, sages. And that's performed by studying scriptures, swadhyay, and performing tapasya. And then the third debt is the debt to the pitras, to our ancestors. And that's done by, you know, for grahasthas, by begetting a son, but for, you know, the whole world by performing shraddha. And fourth debt is debt to humanity. And the debt to humanity is repaid by serving humanity. And therefore, the whole idea of the great devotees, when they will analyze their lives, they lived a life of giving. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find stories of exalted personalities who connected to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's immediate disciples. If you look at Raghunath Das Goswami, now his father and uncle, 500 years before, their monthly income was about 200,000 gold coins. I mean, imagine, you know, in today's times, you think about 200,000 gold coins. Now, with all the recession and gold prices deflating and all, the amount is different. But at that point of time, 200,000 gold coins was actually a huge amount of money. And, I mean, he had 11 people guarding him. You know, 5 watchmen, 4 personal servants, 2 brahmanas. But this much wealth and these many people guarding him could not restrain him from going and dedicating his life for the service of the Lord. Now, if you study these personalities' lives, they lived a life of giving. Rupa Goswami, when he was serving under Nawab Hussain Shah, at one point, Rupa Goswami, he was one of the most influential people in Hussain Shah's kingdom. One day, it was late in the evening, practically night, and Nawab Hussain Shah called him for a meeting. And this was like dead of the night. It was raining like intensely, thunderstorm, lightning, rains. And Rupa Goswami, now the king has called. So he went out, you know, in a palanquin being carried by people. And as he was on his way, the rain became a little too intense. And they decided to stop, you know, near a hut. And Rupa Goswami could overhear a conversation that was happening inside between a husband and wife, inside the hut. And the husband was telling his wife at that point, only a fool will travel out in such a rain. And outside, Rupa Goswami was actually traveling out in the rain. That one word, one sentence of the husband, it struck him hard. And he realized, actually I'm a fool working for this king and wasting my time. That day he decided to quit. That's the end of Rupa Goswami's tenure with Nawab Hussain Shah. And he decided, I want to live a life of not taking, but a life of giving. So all these personalities had led a life of taking. Being kings, being the most wealthiest of wealthy people, born in aristocratic families, they lived a life of taking. But that life of taking didn't satisfy them. And they realized that if we live a life of giving, it's more satisfying. Now, all of us who have joined the Hare Krishna movement are practically Rupanugas, you know,
practically followers of Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, all these personalities. And the mood that we should inculcate in us should be exactly in alignment with the Acharyas. That means if somewhere we are still interested in taking, then we have not understood the mood of our Acharyas at all. If somewhere we feel great satisfaction in gaining things, whether it is gaining appreciation, whether it is gaining followers, whether it is gaining fame, whether it is gaining wealth, is gaining in any kind of subtle, gross way, then somewhere we have not understood what in our Acharyas are trying to inculcate in us. So there are three most important limbs of what bhakti is all about. Namaruchi, Jivadaya and Vaishnu Seva. If you put all the elements of devotional service, whatever we do in the Hare Krishna movement, it falls in these three categories. Namaruchi, Jivadaya and Vaishnu Seva. And interestingly, out of these three things, two things are for others and one is for ourselves. Namaruchi is for our self-development, but Vaishnava Seva and Jivadaya is for serving others. That means two-thirds of our life has to be lived based on serving others. And one-third is for yourself. Now obviously that one-third for yourself also is to upgrade and serve only, basically. But imagine the emphasis that our Acharyas have put on giving, on sharing, on serving. And that's the mood of Mahaprabhu's movement. The entire movement of Mahaprabhu is based on this whole concept of giving. Srila Prabhupada was one person who understood this mood of Mahaprabhu. And his whole life was training people to become great givers. Recognizing greatness in people is not easy. Removing selfishness from people is not easy. One time, there was a man who went to a monastery and he met a great saint. And he asked the saint, "People say that you are a genius, Is that true?" he asked him. So the saint said, "Yes, you might say so, And then this man said, "What makes one a genius?" And the saint, he said, "The ability to recognize." So the man said, "Recognize what?" He said, "Recognize three things." He said, "Recognize a butterfly in a caterpillar, recognize a eagle in an egg, and recognize a saint in a selfish human being." In every human being, there is a great amount of selfishness, but there is also some amount of saintliness. Acharyas are those people who can pull out saintliness from us. Now, if we just ask ourselves this question, were any of us ever planning to be saints in any way, whether it is grihastha or brahmacharya, it doesn't matter, Sadhus is about the quality of sainthood, Now, were any of us ever planning that we will become, sadhu in some time in our lives, We will become saintly people sometimes in our lives. People see us wearing dhoti kurta, tilak and all that, So randomly people on the streets, they pay obeisances to us. I'm sure all of us have experienced that, right? In Vrindavan, if you walk or anywhere in the world, practically, if you are in dhoti kurta, people respect you. Now, do we really deserve that respect? Am I really a saint? We're not. Obviously, we're not. But there is some amount of saintliness in each one of us. And the Acharyas are expert in pulling out that saintliness. So we may be the most grossest human, selfish human beings ever. But within that selfish human being, there is some amount of saintliness. And which is what the movement, Mahaprabhu's movement, pulls out from us. And that is what the whole idea of Krishna consciousness is. For a lot of people, Krishna consciousness lasts for a certain amount of time. When I say lasts for a certain amount of time, it means that we are what we call as fair weather devotees, When everything is fine, we are 100% devotees. But the moment the weather goes bad, the weather condition goes bad, we kind of start losing faith, Srila Haridas Thakur, when he was beaten in these 22 marketplaces. Now, the understanding that Chaitanya Tathamrita gives us is that for most people, when they are beaten in the first or second marketplace or third marketplace, they die. Now, what is the meaning of they die here, It's not just talking about physical death. It's also talking about death of loyalty. A lot of devotees, when they go through whiplashes, when they go through beatings in 22 marketplaces, what does it talk about? Yes, physically it talks about Haridas Thakur being beaten. But it also talks from a symbolic point of view of another thing. All of us are like Haridas Thakur trying to practice our spiritual lives. Chanting whatever number of rounds, you know, we're not talking about quantity here. We're talking about the concept of taking shelter of the Lord. But at the same time, we also go through our tests. For a lot of people, when they go through the first test, they give up Krishna consciousness. A lot of people, when they go through the second test, they give up Krishna consciousness. A lot of people, when they go through the third test, they give up Krishna consciousness. But people like Haridas Thakur, on the 22nd marketplace also, he was smiling. And he was chanting the holy names constantly, incessantly. So, for each one of us, there is a time at which your loyalty breaks. For example, for a person who is like an Hawaldar, you know, 100 rupees, loyalty is gone, you know. For somebody who is an inspector, maybe 1,000, 2,000 rupees, his loyalty is gone. For somebody who is a commissioner, 10,000, 20,000 rupees, his loyalty is gone. For somebody who is like a DIG type of person, you know, 1 lakh, 2 lakh, loyalty is gone. So each one has a level at which one's loyalty breaks. The question is, where does our loyalty break, you know? At what point do we stop being loyal to Krishna? That's the understanding that Haridas Thakur is giving us. Smiling at that point on the 22nd marketplace, that is a sign of loyalty. That is a sign of pragada premarayi svabhava achar. Nija dukkha vigna adi na kare vichar. So when we can smile in the midst of the greatest calamities of our lives, when we can smile in the midst of the greatest temptations of our life, when we can smile in the midst of the greatest crisis of our lives and still chant the holy names, that means your loyalty is not going to break ever, basically. Obviously, we don't really need these kind of tests to decide what our loyalty level is. Without any tests, only our loyalty will break, you know, any point of time, basically. But when we study these stories are meant to give us a benchmark. What is the expectation of being a disciple of Mahaprabhu? What is the expectation of being a part of the movement of the Hare Krishna movement? When we understand the idea of sorrow, now there are two types of sorrow in this world, two types of sadness in this world. The first type of sadness is sadness that comes from the lack of something. The second type of sadness is a sadness that comes from thoughts. So these are known as abhav janya. Abhav means when there is lack, you know, lack of something. So sometimes sadness is generated. In the material world, all the sadness that we see is because of lack of something. So anybody is sad about anything in this world, you should understand that fellow has either lost something or he's hankering for something. You look at, you know, young boys and girls when they are sad, you understand either they lost their girlfriend or boyfriend, you know. When a businessman is sad, you understand he has lost some money in the stock market or business is not growing, you know. When a married man is sad, you know, you understand that there is some dissatisfaction in the family life. So every person who is going through sadness, you know, is due to some loss or due to some lack, basically. But the second type of sadness is due to thoughts. Now, if you study the scriptures, our acharyas, they're all sad people. Madhavendra Puri, very sad. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all sad. Why they're sad? Their sadness is not because they have lack of something. Their sadness is based on thought. Now, when sadness is based on lack of things, it makes you hopeless. But when sadness is based on thought, it makes you very hopeful. And it actually leads you towards hope. The question that the great acharyas, the great teachers, when they experience this kind of sorrow in their lives, you know, the thought that is behind us is, have I reached my goal? Have I reached my destination? You know, bhakti is a process that simultaneously makes you satisfied and dissatisfied. It gives you satisfaction also, and it gives you dissatisfaction also. You will never find the Goswamis running in Vrindavan saying that I found Krishna. Yeah, you know. They are always running, where is Krishna? That means there is dissatisfaction in them. So now that dissatisfaction, that lack is caused by a thought. It's not because of lack of things, you know. That sorrow is caused by some thoughts. And that thought which causes that kind of sorrow is actually very hope-giving. Because it will never make you proud. So when you have this thought that I have got Krishna, that's it. You're gone, basically. Because you start feeling proud of yourself. When you have this thought that I don't have Krishna, it leaves you always dissatisfied. For a fish, how much water is enough? Like for example, for you and me, you know, one glass of water is enough for us. Our thirst is quenched. We are happy. But for a fish, how much water is enough? No matter how much water you give the fish, it's just not enough. Because the fish thrives on water. It needs unlimited amount of water to thrive. Similarly, for a devotee, how much Krishna is enough? Nothing is enough. How much ever you give Krishna, devotee feels dissatisfied only. And in fact, the devotee feels satisfaction and dissatisfaction simultaneously. And that's the beauty of bhakti, basically. It leaves you satisfied, but at the same time, it leaves you dissatisfied. If you feel completely satisfied and feel no dissatisfaction, that means your bhakti is not completely developed. And when you feel only dissatisfaction or no satisfaction also, then still your bhakti is not completely developed. So the acharyas, if you study the way Mahaprabhu's movement is, it creates great amount of satisfaction, but at the same time, it leaves you completely dissatisfied. Nothing is enough, basically. So, human beings, when we come to this realization that I no longer want to fight to possess things in this world. This realization, usually people get in old age. In old age, because old age carries you the message of death. And it tells you that everything you're holding on to, you need to let go. You need to leave, basically. If you don't leave, then one day it'll be taken away from you. But this message, a devotee develops right from day one of the Hare Krishna movement. But obviously, this message is not supposed to be a pessimistic message. It's supposed to be an optimistic message in the sense that it helps you grow from something insignificant and unwanted to something significant and wanted, basically. And devotees, the great devotees of the Lord, who understand that this body has been given to us for a purpose. Mahaprabhu's movement is to help us understand this fact, that the body has been given to us like a purpose. So now, God has made this body, which is supposed to be what is known as Sadhana Bhavan. This is the abode of sadhana. This body is meant for sadhana. But now, have you ever seen a house that doesn't have doors? No door at all. Only four walls. That's called a grave, basically. So grave is the only house that doesn't have any walls, any doors, basically. One-way entry. You are inside, closed, sealed from all directions, basically. So now, the body is a bhavan, is a house. But there is a door. And there are two types of houses. One is a house where you have facility to lock from inside. Most houses have facility from lock from inside. But there are some houses that don't have facility to lock from inside. They only have facility to lock from outside. Those are called prisons, basically. So in a prison, the fellow who goes inside, he cannot lock from inside, you know. No option. Have you ever seen a prison where, you know, prisoner locks from inside, you know, his own door? You will never find that prison. Why? Because prisoner is supposed to be locked and he cannot get out with his own free will, basically. But a house is a place where you go in with your free will and you go out also with your free will, basically. So this body is not a prison, it's a house. For a lot of people, they feel that this body is a prison where you are locked forever, you know. And those are the people who think of making best while you are inside. They have no desire to go out only. They try to make the prison as comfortable as possible. You know, I mean, nowadays you have AC prisons, you have prisons with attached bathroom, you have prisons with toilet facility and with, you know, TV facility and internet, Wi-Fi, everything you get inside the prison. So these are people who are trying to make life membership inside the prison only, basically. They have no desire to getting out. Why? Because they feel life is better inside the prison. But for a devotee, he understands that this body is not a prison, it's a house. Which essentially means the door can be opened from inside and you can walk out of it. But for that, you need to find the door. A lot of people are so absorbed in life's pleasures that they never find the door only. Like one guy, you know, he was told by the king that if you will blindfold you and if you somehow or the other find the exit door, you can go out of the prison. No problem. So this guy was happy, you know. So he was touching all the walls of the prison and walking in that direction. Just when he reached the gate, a mosquito, you know, bit him. So he started scratching. He lost the gate. You know. He went around second time, you know. Second time when he came to the gate, something else happened. And again, he lost his focus and he lost the door. So like this guy, we are all in this material world and we have a chance of getting out of that prison, you know. And that's what the whole Hare Krishna movement is all about. But somehow we're so distracted by small, small things that keep happening in between that every time that exit door is just around the corner, we make our some distraction and go inside again, you know. So therefore, all of us, we need the spiritual master who helps us deal with that, with the distractions and the attractions of this world. Mahaprabhu's movement is to help us deal with those distractions and attractions of this world. Anything else except Krishna is a distraction. And that kind of emphasis, when we really, you know, intensely believe in, and when we really intensely try to focus on, then we'll be able to get out of this this mood. So there are two things. One is the expectation of sadhana, and the second is the help of kripa. Now, out of which sadhana is done by us. Sadhana is something that we are doing. But kripa, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything, basically. Now, for most people, sadhana is like everything. But if you really come to the Hare Krishna movement and you understand Mahaprabhu's teachings and Mahaprabhu's philosophy, your effort is hardly anything. It's hardly anything. So essentially, what we are, like for example, there are people who are called Mayavadis. There are people who are called Brahmavadis. There are different types of Vadis. So what are we? We are Kripavadis, basically, you know. Our whole movement is based on Kripa. It's not based on our sadhana. You think our sadhana is worth enough to help us get out from the material world? I'm sorry to say, we have absolutely no qualification to get out of the material world based on our own sadhana. In fact, if Krishna does like a surprise test, you know, a surprise check, you know, we'll be shocked what we're doing, you know. Like there was one, before the Gurukul was here, it was in our temple. And Adagopinathpur tells this very interesting experience he had in the Gurukul. So every day in the morning, the Gurukul kids would come to do japa together and they would all be sitting in circle and, you know, chanting rounds. There was one guy who was like chanting so intensely, shaking his body, shaking his hand, and it was like really intense. You know, Ati Bhakti Chorer Lakshan, he says. So Gopinathpur felt like this, something is wrong with this guy, you know. So he went and touched him and, you know, he stopped chanting. He said, show me your beads. This guy removed his hand, inside nothing was there. No beads only. Only mala was, only beadbag was there. He was shaking his hand and just to show that he is doing good chanting, basically. Now imagine if Krishna comes and does a surprise check on our sadhana, you know. He'll get the shock of his life. Because the quality of our sadhana is so useless, you know. Absolutely useless. Not just a sadhana, practically every aspect of our devotion, if you see, whether you look at our austerities, whether you look at our service attitude, whether you look at all the aspects of our devotion, there's hardly any quality in it, which qualifies us to go back to the spiritual world, which qualifies us to open the door to get out of this material existence, you know. And therefore, for us, we are like in a prison only. The door is locked from outside only for us. We have no idea how to get out of it. And therefore, the Hare Krishna movement is based on Kripa. Mahaprabhu's mercy to pull us out of this world. When Shivas Thakur was having these nocturnal kirtans, every night there was these amazing kirtans happening in Shivas Angan. The different people who wanted to come and have just one darshan of Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, he would not allow anyone to come in. So Shivas Thakur one day was approached by one brahmachari, milk-drinking brahmachari. And he told Shivas Thakur that, you know, I only drink milk, nothing else I drink and nothing else I eat. Can I please watch Mahaprabhu's dancing for a few seconds? So Shivas Thakur felt, what a person who can survive only on drinking milk, you know. So Shivas Thakur, he allowed him. So he had been hiding. Mahaprabhu doesn't like anybody. So he put him in a basket and he was hiding, you know. And Mahaprabhu started dancing. And while dancing, Mahaprabhu, he stopped in the middle of the dance. And he said, is there someone here who should not be here? Shivas Thakur immediately said, Mahaprabhu, there are no offenders here, you know. Mahaprabhu continued dancing, you know. And after some time, again Mahaprabhu stopped. He said, is there someone here who should not be here? Shivas Thakur said, Mahaprabhu, there are no deviants and no miscreants, no sinners over here. You know. Mahaprabhu said, I never asked all that. I said, is there anyone here who is not supposed to be here? You know. By the time this guy understood that he is not wanted, you know, he got up and he was walking away. And while walking away, he just had one thought in his mind. The thought that he had was, I don't deserve to be here, but by my good fortune and my Mahaprabhu's grace, I got to see the dance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a few seconds, though I don't deserve it. With that thought, he was leaving. So Mahaprabhu was chastising Shivas Thakur in the meanwhile, saying that, don't think that just tapasya, just because he is drinking milk, he is qualified to see my dance. He was blasting him left, right, center, you know, that the qualification to see my dance and participate in the movement is not austerity, you know. So like that he was chastising. But the moment this guy, this brahmachari had this thought in his mind, Mahaprabhu immediately changed his mood. He said, call him in. Now, how suddenly that mood changed? How did Mahaprabhu's mood change so suddenly? Because the whole movement, to attract mercy of the Lord, what is important is not your sadhana. What is important is not your austerities. What is important is the attitude with which you do what you do. The attitude with which you do the sadhana. The attitude with which you do your austerities. That attitude attracts Kripa. So therefore, Uttanapad had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti. We need both in our lives. All of us need Suruchi and all of us need Suniti also. Now, you might wonder, what is this Suniti Suruchi going on, you know? Bhagavatam story, Suniti Suruchi, how is it related to our lives? In our life also, we have two aspects, Niti and Ruchi. Ruchi is what we like, what is dear to us, what we get attracted to. But one who has vivek or discrimination, that person will realize that unfortunately we are giving undue importance to ruchi, undue importance to what we like. And therefore, the tendency is that we tend to give priority to ruchi and neglect niti. That's what Uttanapada was doing. Uttanapad was giving priority to Suruchi and was neglecting Suniti. Unfortunately, our life will be full of problems if we do this. Just like Uttanapad's life became full of problems because he did that, you know. He gave priority to Suruchi, neglected Suniti. And therefore, we need to focus on both. We need to focus on the tendency to be attracted to what we like to do, but the tendency to also do what we need to do. Niti gives us that and Ruchi gives us attraction. So in the Hare Krishna movement, we have the opportunity to do both. We have something that we like to do. There are different devotees who like to do different aspects of bhakti. But we also have to have some things that we need to do. And the combination of the two, Suruchi and Suniti, leads us to what is known as Uttam Bhakti. So Mahaprabhu's movement is a movement where we are inspiring devotees to take up shelter of Krishna, of the process. And the idea of the process is somehow or the other, it's not just about your self-development. While you're developing yourself, we need to help others. So as I said, Naam Ruchi is one part, but two-thirds part is Jivadaya and Vaishnava Seva. So when we are combining these two, you know, we need to do what we like to do, but at the same time, we also need to do what we have to do for the movement to grow and for us to experience the Hare Krishna movement in its completeness. We have to go back to its roots. The roots lies in giving, basically. Mahaprabhu's entire movement was based on giving. He was living a good life as a householder, you know, I mean, extremely good mother, extremely beautiful wife, extremely great following, you know, great students, great income, everything was perfect. But he gave up all that. Why? So that he can live a life of giving, you know, just selflessly living for others. Therefore, this Gaur Purnima, let us focus on this mood and thoughts on the thought process behind the Hare Krishna movement. And probably that might help us live a more selfless life based on giving. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Very, very grateful to all of you for your patient listening. Is there any quick questions? Maybe you can take one question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for nice class. You mentioned that we are Kripavadis. So means I understand that we have too much faith as a person in our own efforts. And means I feel that if I don't put effort, then it will not be possible to get anything. So that it means deep-rooted feeling is there. So having faith in Kripa means becomes very difficult. So
the education system makes us talented. And talent makes us lonely. The most talented people are also the most lonely people in this world. And unfortunately, the problem with talent is we feel all problems in life can be solved with talent. But when you come across problems in life that talent cannot solve, that's when you get problems. So the Hare Krishna movement, it's a blessing if you are a fool. If you're intelligent, you'll have a lot of problems in life. So I have seen people who are simple growing rapidly in spiritual lives. People who are too intelligent, they struggle. So with intelligence comes this attitude that I can do everything on my own. So that attitude is not the best for dependence, basically. So yes, we need to put our efforts. That's why I say sadhana is important, purushartha is important. Our effort is important. But that effort is minimal to give us results, basically. So we have to cultivate this mode of dependence more than efforts, basically. Yes, we have to put our efforts as much as possible. Beyond that effort, you know, is where our work stops. This is what Bhagavad Gita says, right? The whole idea of nishkam karma, you know. Put your effort and then wait for results to come. So we put the best effort that we can. But remember, our best is not the best. So in spite of our best, we need a lot more of grace. So Gaur Purnima is a good time to help us pray for that mood of having the right grace in our lives. It also is a time where we can pray to the Lord that, my dear Lord, I feel I'm too talented. Please decrease my talent a little bit. What I really need in life is good attitude. Spiritual life is based on, absolutely based on attitude. This is my understanding, you know. Spiritual life is completely based on right attitude. And hopefully with that attitude, Krishna will be kind on us and merciful on us.
Just a small clarification. Is there any difference between daya and kripa?
Daya is compassion and kripa is mercy, basically. Probably the way I understand it is, the Lord shows compassion when he feels that we deserve it, basically. And kripa is the manifestation of that compassion, basically.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you very much. I need to run now. We can take the question while walking. Yeah. Thank you very much. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. गौर पूर्णिमा महामहोत्सव की, शिल प्रभुपाद की जय।